It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, dear friends, it's great to be with you. Beautiful day down here in Texas. We're in the full bloom of spring. The birds are out there and having a ball of a time. I'm enjoying it myself. The trees are coming out with buds, and God is on his throne. But, of course, God is on his throne every season, isn't he? And if you're part of his great work, which basically is that he brings you into citizenship of a new nation that he has created called the New Jerusalem, Zion. If you're part of that Zion, then friends, you've got a glorious future ahead. And spring time here on earth doesn't even compare to every day in heaven. And I can't wait to get there. How about you? Just can't wait. Some people say, well, would you die to get there? Well, I'm going to die to get there unless Jesus comes for me first and for you in the catching up of the saints. Well, in any case, it's great to be with you today. And, you know, talking about Zion, we're going to start a new series today about Zion. A lot of mixed up people. They actually believe that some earthly nation known as Israel over in the Middle East is Zion. Boy, they're mixed up. The gates of Zion, my friends, do not start in the Middle East of this old fading planet called Earth. There is a new Jerusalem, friends. A new Jerusalem. What a great golden city of God that is. And it doesn't matter what your race. It only matters who your master is. If you have a master whose name is above all names, Jesus, then you are already a citizen of the new Jerusalem that's coming down from heaven. Revelation pictures it as a city all adorned, ready for the bride. Oh, what a gleaming new city. You know, the United States here, well over 200 years ago, the fledgling new nation, the colonialist who had defeated Britain, said, we need a capital city. And they got a parcel of land. Actually, been a little village called the New Rome. And they named the entire area the District of Columbia, and the city was named after George Washington. And they said, now we have a city for the new nation. Friends, let me tell you something. There is a greater city than Washington, D.C. on the horizon. But not just anybody can be a citizen. You've got to be invited, and you have to be chosen. Now, as evidence that you're chosen, you must have Jesus Christ in your heart. How do you become one of the chosen ones? Well, repent of your sins, believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. You know, in the United States, of course, there's illegal immigrants running around everywhere, but supposedly to become a citizen, you've got to take a test. That's right, you have to take the citizenship test. It's not too complicated, but you have to answer some questions. You have to fill out an application. Well, God is here today with a test for you. Will you believe in and obey his son, Jesus Christ? If you will, and he can read your heart, you may say so. You may have already walked down the aisle of some church and said so, testifying that you would allow Jesus to be king of your heart. And you may have just been a liar. Oh, you may have meant it at the time, but you never carried it into operation. That's not going to hack it, my friends. God can read your heart. Are you truly repentant? You may have just said, well, I need to become a Christian. Look at all the goodies God can give me. Why, he gave Sister Joe over there, he's given her a new car. And Brother Bob over there just got a new job. He said it's because God's blessing him. Yeah, I want those blessings. Friend, don't expect to become a citizen of the New Jerusalem just because you want things. You want more stuff. That's not it at all. In fact, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to give you some shocking news that the prosperity gospel teachers have hidden from you. It might be, now listen close, it might be that the day you believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, and he comes to live in your heart, from that day you might lose all your possessions. You say, what? You mean I could lose my material possessions? That's right. That's right, friends. It's not the mark of a man that he owns a lot of possessions. God can create possessions out of thin air and give them to his saints. Oh, I believe there are mansions in heaven. I believe there are gold streets in heaven, gleaming crystal palaces, brazen seas. Oh, my goodness, the jewels that you'll find there, diamonds and jasper and gemstones of the highest grades. Diamonds. Listen, I believe there are all those things. But if that's all you want, if that's all you want, you're a very sad person. There are other things in life, great riches beyond those things. But even those things, as lowly as they are to God, because it's so easy for God to make those things, they're like nothing to him. But I believe you'll have even those things in heaven. Here on earth, I'm not so sure. It might be that God doesn't want you to have those things. It might be that God, once you accept Jesus, he will take away everything you have. Some people say, well, Tex, that's just blasphemy. It's not blasphemy at all. And it might be the exact right thing that you need. You may be so faceted, so stuck on the things that you own, that God just decides, I'm going to take them away from her. I'm going to take away everything she has. And it might be for your own good. You say, well, I don't see how. Well, you don't have to see what God can see. It might be that God needs you in some ghetto somewhere. There are people there being lost, and there's no one to talk to them that understands the depth of their sorrow and their poverty. Have you ever considered that God may take away your riches and send you down to a ghetto? You say, well, I wouldn't want that. Well, friends, why don't you want what God wants for you? It might be that he sends you as a missionary to one of the most poverty-stricken areas of this world, and you live just like the people there do, in dire straits, hungry, without proper shelter. You say, well, surely God wouldn't do that, but you think a moment. You, a person who has long experienced the pleasures and the comforts of living in one of the richest nations on earth, what happens if you, of all people, are stripped of your material possessions and become as poor and as destitute as the beggars of India? I'm telling you, friends, what a message you will have. When they come to you and say, oh, you once had it all. You once had everything. Why did you give it up? What happened? Look, now you're miserable like us. You can say, oh, I'm not miserable at all. I may be poor like you, my Indian friends, but I'm not miserable. I have Jesus. And he is great riches. He is the pearl of great price. I have him in my heart. And there is no other gem like him. I am not at all miserable. I am not lonely. I am not poor. I am rich. Friends, do you know what impact that will have on the world? If just one Christian goes to India, into the depth of poverty, and tells the people, I had all those things. Now I'm poor like you, but I'm rich. You see, that might be what God has for you. On the other hand, You may be poor today and accept Jesus, and he makes you rich. You say, well, that's strange. He might make a rich man poor and a poor man rich, and they each be his children. Yes, that's right. Oh, you can't fathom the things of God. He might make you rich so that you can give to the poor. He might make you rich, yes, as an example, that when he wants to, he can do whatever he wants. You say, I could never become rich. I'm a poor person. I've got a poor person's mentality. I don't have the education to become a rich man or woman. I'll never be rich. I'm going to be stuck in this dead-end job. Friends, I'm telling you, you could become a Christian and tomorrow morning wake up, go get your mail out of your mailbox, and there could be a letter from an uncle who you never knew even existed, and he's left you $50 million. Now, you say, well, Tex, you're just trying to entice me to be a Christian. No, didn't I just warn you that he could actually take away what little you do have? You got a dead-end job? Friends, you could become a Christian and reach dead-end as far as the material things of this earth. But you could become a rich person with God, too. He does whatever he wants. Friends, listen to me. It's not whether you're going to gain wealth or lose wealth with God. Because once you have Jesus in your heart, you are rich beyond measure. And the things of this world fade away in importance. And all you will look for, if you're truly a Christian, is Zion. And when you look at Zion, you'll say, I honor the King who is King of Zion. And you know what every motto of every Christian should have? This motto: there is no Zion, there can be no Zion without a King. And there can be no King but King Jesus. Once you have that attitude, friends, Zion becomes wherever you are. There's an old story, you know, I believe it's true. I really do believe it. There's a lot of maxims and homilies and old sayings that come from true happenings. You may have heard this. Many people have. Of the man who, the young man who moves to another town, and he's curious to know what kind of town that is, what kind of people live there. Are they going to be friendly or, you know, cross and, you know, tart? Are they going to be nice people or snippety old birds? And on his first day in that town that he's moved into, he walks down the street and there's a little house over there, and there's an old man just whittling on a piece of wood in a rocking chair. And the young man walks up to him and says, hi, old timer, how are you doing? He says, well, I'm doing fine, young man. He says, I'm a newcomer here in town. I just wonder what kind of people live in this town. The old man looked at him and says, what kind of people? Yeah, are they good people? Are they bad people? He says, well, what was it like in your last town? The young man said, oh, they were terrible there. They were pitiful people. That's why I moved here. And the old man looked at him and says, well, you know, that's just the kind of people you're going to find here. We have the same kind of people that lived in your town. I don't think you're going to like them a bit more. You know what I'm saying here, friends. Paul said that he was content whatever condition, whatever human state he found himself in. He was in prison, he was content. He was a free man, he was content. Friends, you can be a victim of your own heart. If it is black, you will live in a black, black prison cell. If you have a heart that is pure in God, you will live in a city full of splendorous light all the days of your life. It's within you, because either the devil's in you or God is inside of you. You think about that. Okay? Now, we're going to start a new series today. No King but King Jesus. And there's no Zion without the King. And I think you're going to enjoy this series. And now, if you're one of those Judaizers that doesn't believe that, that believe the Jews can have an earthly kingdom without Jesus, I really want you to listen. I'm not going to run you off. I mean, you're into apostasy, and that's why you need to listen up. You're going to find out about the real Zion, the real King. And the kingdom of heaven, my friends, is right here, right now. You say, well, it doesn't much look like the kingdom of heaven to me. Well, it might be that you're not in it. You're not part of it. Two people could be in Houston, Texas, standing side by side on the street, and one's in the kingdom of hell, and one is in the kingdom of God, side by side. And they're only divided by just a few inches of air. One is a citizen and is already mounted up to Zion, and the other is in a hellish place. You don't believe that? Why do you think John the Baptist told the people of Israel, the Jews, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Why do you think Jesus said, do you see these miracles? Then the kingdom of God is in your midst. John the Baptist said, it's at hand, it's right here, it's close to us. And Jesus said, it's in your midst. Friends, listen to me. If you have Jesus in your heart, you are in the kingdom of heaven. And none of you, that's right, not one molecule of your body, and certainly not your spirit, is owned by the devil. He cannot touch you, and his agents cannot harm you. You say, well, that's not true. I know a lot of Christians that are in heaven. Oh, well, there's some purpose for that. I've already told you, there's going to be a purpose whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're in a prison cell or whether you're free. There's a purpose for that. But that doesn't mean you're not part of the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean you haven't mounted all the way up to Zion and the face of Jesus is shining on you even today, wherever you're at. Oh, we've got a great series for you, and then you're going to enjoy it. I really believe you will. If you have a prayer need, let us know. We'd love to pray for you. It's an honor. It's a privilege. Let us have a blessing. You see, we're blessed when we pray for you. That's right. That's one of the mysteries of God. You pray for me, and you'll be blessed. I pray for you, and I'm blessed. That's right. God is a contrarian. Don't just pray for yourself. What glory are you going to have then? Oh, God will listen to you, but pray for others. And you'll be amazed. God will inhabit your prayers. You know, that sounds pantheistic. That almost sounds like it's heathenistic. How can God inhabit a prayer? Well, I don't have to explain it to you. I can just quote you the Bible. It says God inhabits the prayers of the saints. Oh, my. Can you imagine? If you want God to visit your home, pray. He will inhabit your home through your prayers. He enters your home on the wing of prayers. Isn't that an amazing thing? You think about that, friends. You say, I just don't feel like God's here. Well, maybe you're not praying. If you pray, God will be there. You say, well, I just don't feel it. Well, your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings will lie to you sometimes. Sometimes I feel so bad and sick, I wake up, my joints are hurting, I think I'm going to die that day. But you know, I get up and around and I, you know, poke around and start doing things, and pretty soon I'm feeling pretty good. My feelings lied to me. I guess it was my lazy nature to say, stay in bed a little longer. Yeah, stay in bed. That's lying to me, wouldn't it? If you stay in bed here, you'll feel better. Usually you feel worse. Sleep late, you feel worse. Well, anyway. Now, the old great Blackwood brothers, I don't think they would mind me calling them. There's still a few of them still alive today. The rest of them, hey, they're not old or young. They're living with the Lord. So, you know, they're younger than me now, right? They've got eternity. But I don't think they'll mind too much. You know, I think it's a mark of distinction to be old. That may sound contrary, too. But I believe that. You know, the Bible tells people to honor the elderly. The Bible says to honor your mother and father, that your days will be long. And I know that's true. I do. We have a lot of older people on our mailing list. And you know, they're a blessing. They write me, and I listen to everything they say. Now, I'm going to just tell you a secret. When a young person writes, sometimes I'm skeptical. Oh, that's terrible of me. But when I have a saint of God 80 or 90 years old, I just want to listen to him more. I'm just really prejudiced in favor of the elderly. But I think God is too. And you know something? I'm envious. I'm envious of the elderly. You know why? Well, let's face it. They're going to be with the Lord sooner than we are. Well, I don't know that for sure. I don't know what tomorrow brings except Jesus. I know that for sure. Hey, we got to get on. We don't have much time to even start our series, do we? Well, let's just have this song then. Beulah Land by the Blackwoods. And then whatever time we have left, we're gonna go and talk about Zion and the King of Zion. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Bible Home Church. I discussed the Judaizers, and I said clearly that they were blasphemers, and I believe that they are, even though they sincerely do not mean it, I believe that they are closet haters of the Jews. For in favoring the Jews and telling the Jews that they do not need Jesus, they are helping the Jews to go to hell. And this is a great disgrace. this is a great tragedy. But there's so much more involved. You know, a lot of people are very critical of me because I have been exposing the work of the Jews here on earth. Not all of the Jews, of course, because like any nation, there are some good people and some bad. And when in the New Testament, the many times that Jesus and the apostles simply used the words, the Jews, you know, the Jews called for Jesus to be put to death. They said, give us Barabbas. Certainly it was not all the Jews. We do know that at least 11, not including Judas, of course, 11 disciples did not want, 11 disciples who were Jews did not want Jesus put to death. And yet, for whatever reason, the Bible says the Jews called out, give us Barabbas.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.